Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Friday night to the Rebel Report. I'm Matt Gavorky. I know this is rough. When the NCAA tournament has come to an end in the Sweet 16, if you are a casual observer, that was a hell of a basketball game, especially in the second half. A couple of really tough, mentally and physically tough teams. Just trading blows down the stretch, back and forth that game was, two elite coaches, and it turned out an elite game in which Ole Miss was on the losing end of. 73-70, the final score. Ole Miss falls again in the Sweet 16. My name is Michael Borky. Again, I appreciate you being here. Don't forget to like and subscribe and all that good stuff to the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube or listening in podcast form, if you have not subscribed, then please do so. I would very much welcome your subscription. And before we dive into anything else, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you by the Gregory Law Firm. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered anywhere in Mississippi if you have been personally injured. Don't waste another second. Wake up and call DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm at 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. Also, small business, if you have any small business, either issues or you want to start a small business, give that number a call. Tell DJ I sent you. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. Sorry, I'm getting questions about the Black Knight soccer game tomorrow possibly getting rained out, which I hope it doesn't, but it's entirely possible, unfortunately. Anyway, you guys aren't here for that. You're here to talk basketball. Before we get into box score and anything else about the game itself, I do want to say that that was just a really fun team to cover and watch and follow and listen to press conferences and read about and all that stuff. Their run came to an end, and I know that you guys are sad about that. Of course you are, and the team's going to be sad about that. But when a season comes to an end, the furthest that the program has ever gone, only for the second time ever, you can kind of reflect immediately on what kind of a season it was and what a massive step forward the program took in year two under Chris Beard. The proof of concept that we've talked about after each of their two NCAA tournament wins going into tonight. This run that they made mattered, and it's going to have what I think a chronic impact on the fan base and the program itself. This season was huge for the future of Ole Miss basketball. It was proof not only to fans that basketball is worth investing in at Ole Miss. It's worth getting behind for you casual fans that, frankly, have not been given much reason to get behind basketball at Ole Miss because the program hasn't really given you much to work with. As you know already, only the second Sweet 16 ever. They haven't given you much to grab onto. But when something like this happens, and when you've got a coach like Chris Beard, and when you've got an AD and a university administration that wants to invest in basketball, a run that they just went on is proof of why they want to do that. And it shows how fun and intense a tournament run can be, how much it matters, how important it is. And so what this does is massive for Ole Miss basketball moving forward. So that's a big deal. I was also, even though they're going to be disappointed tonight, two players in particular. Now, Ole Miss had a bunch of veterans on this team, but the two guys that were at Ole Miss for a long time, and Matt Morrell, who was at Ole Miss for 5 years, and Jamin Brakefield, who also felt like he was at Ole Miss for 5 years, those two guys sticking around in the portal era and staying committed to their school through some turnover and some bad basketball to end their careers on a run like the one they went on is special. And I think it's really cool just on the surface that Matt Morrell and Jamin Brakefield got to end their Ole Miss careers making a run to the Sweet 16 and performing the way they did on this stage and getting the send-off that they received, I thought was really, really cool. Sean Padula in his 1 year at Ole Miss has already become a legend. He was outstanding again today. This was a really likable basketball team. They played really good basically from the start of the season on. It's not like this run kind of came up out of nowhere. They have been of course, they had lapses during the season, right? They had a three-game losing streak. I guess it was twice this year. But that they spent an entire season putting on a quality basketball product that was easy to consume. They had big wins. They had good characters, likable players. Again, Morrell, who's been at Ole Miss forever and was battling that knee injury. Brakefield, you know his story. Padula being the one-year guy but being tough as hell and having just an unbelievable March. Dre Davis, even though he didn't have his best game today, Dre Davis in what is his 1 year, is going to leave a lasting impact. Even guys like Barnes. Barnes was a scorer at his previous stop, and he comes to Ole Miss and fit into a completely different role, and he handled that role so well. Juju Murray is a guy that has played a ton of college basketball, and despite his size, and he didn't have his best game today either. But it's just a group of really likable basketball players that, despite what their coaches said publicly, I think that they overachieved. And in watching a team overachieve and play as hard as they did, even tonight, was a really fun thing to consume. So I'm happy for the guys, despite the loss today, specifically the ones that we mentioned. But that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun to talk about. That was a lot of fun to do radio shows every day about. March Madness is intoxicating. That's the phrase that I use to you guys all the time. March Madness is intoxicating. And having a team that you pay so close attention to make a run like this, It's awesome. And even though it came to an end on a night in which it felt like Ole Miss was the better team, a lot of factors went into them losing tonight. They did miss some opportunities, miss some shots right at the basket late that could have changed the complexion of the game as they were trying to seal the win down the stretch. They didn't make enough shots. They had a couple of empty possessions offensively, only 41% from the field they shot tonight, but man, they played hard. They controlled the glass. They defended like hell. And they just got beat by a really good, tough basketball team that is coached by a legend. There's really not a whole lot that you can complain about tonight, other than I've already seen some of your messages. The officiating is certainly one of them, I'm sure. But you just – one of those things where you love to watch the team and you tip your hat to a really quality opponent, and you start watching the transfer portal, and you hope Malik Dia is willing to continue to work on his game because his ceiling's so incredibly high, and Klafke with an offseason can be a major asset for this team, and so on and so forth. There's a lot to be excited about. There's a lot to build on, and basketball at Ole Miss under Chris Beard has quote-unquote arrived, and I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. So I won't go through the box score too much. Again, Padula was really good. He had an unbelievable March. 24 points on 9 of 17, including 4 of 9 from 3. The Ole Miss wins the game if he and Dre Davis don't get in foul trouble early, where they had to sit out basically 10 full minutes of the first half each. That was, I think, the biggest difference in the game is Ole Miss. The 20 fouls as a team, the foul trouble that they found themselves in, Davis and Dia both had 4, but you had to play long stretches of basketball without Sean Padula, without Dre Davis, without Malik Dia. It was that was really significant in this game and possibly the difference. But you got 13 from Morrell. He defended really, really well tonight. Almost had 8 steals to only 8 turnovers. Forced 10 Michigan State turnovers, and that's a really smart team that protects the basketball. You got 11 from Dia, 9 from Jamin Brakefield. Ole Miss, again, only shoots 41% from the field, 33% from 3. 9 of 10 of their free throws, while Michigan State shot 22 of them and made 19 of them. So Michigan State shoots 12 more free throws than Ole Miss and they made 10 more in a three-point game. That is a tough discrepancy to overcome. 20 Ole Miss fouls to just 12 of Michigan State. That's another pretty significant stat line that will tell you why this game was lost by Ole Miss. So we'll get to your comments. That's really what I want this to be anyway. I'll stop yapping. I'm just kind of rambling at this point. When you watch a game so intense like that, it's hard to kind of gather thoughts immediately to talk about it. So I figured you guys should drive the conversation, and you'll do that after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com or Exit 40 in Brookhaven. Check out their online inventory. The car buying experience can be really, really stressful. And the last thing you want is to just go shop in your backyard because it's the closest dealership to you. It's a massive purchase, and you want to buy your car from somebody that will take care of you like a person instead of just seeing dollar signs. That'll happen at Toyota of Brookhaven. They also have a service department if you live in the area. Any make, any model, you need your car serviced. One of the highest rated service departments in the entire state of Mississippi. Tell them I sent you. $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota immediately off the top. $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota. Toyota Brookhaven will take care of you, I promise. If you're going to go through the car buying experience, do it through somebody that will take care of you. Toyotaofbrookhaven.com is the website. Exit 40 in Brookhaven. First message, got to go recruit a Jade Richardson quality player. Yeah, he was really good. He was really good. He had 20 points on 6 of 8. What Michigan State was able to do in the second half, they were able to get a lot of possessions where they had a guard going downhill, and that was really tough for Ole Miss to defend. Michigan State was able to manufacture some pretty easy looks at the basket late, and that was kind of the difference. You say, I thought Michigan State's a better team than Ole Miss right now. It is most definitely a better program. I think Ole Miss is going to look back at this game thinking they let one go. I thought that the overwhelming majority of the night, they were the better team. And for whatever reason, they couldn't close it. Again, there's a lot of factors. I talked about the free throw discrepancy and the foul discrepancy, and they didn't make enough shots, Ole Miss, tonight. And they missed a couple of really close ones at the rim that would have changed this game, I think, and they couldn't make the plays late, among other things, and that was the difference. I do think that they played better than Michigan State tonight. They just couldn't make the plays the way Michigan State could, and hard to overcome the foul trouble and a 10-point swing in free throws. Does Padula have another season? He does not. He does not. Do I think Beard will be at Ole Miss next season? Where would he go? Where would he go? Number one, where would he go? And two, Ole Miss is about to invest heavily, heavily into Chris Beard, his staff, and recruiting as well. Keith Carter and that administration and that school and those donors are not about to let this run just become a flash in the pan. They're going to do everything they can to make sure that this is something that they do with regularity. You say good game, but it seemed like the refs protected the blue blood tonight. Another one, it's tough to win what was mostly an 8v5 battle, but the program is just getting started. I have a feeling they'll be back. Yeah, look, what was frustrating watching that was you have two teams that are wanting to play aggressive physical basketball, and how many random touch fouls did they allow, especially in the first half? The charge on Davis and then turning around like a possession later and calling a block on Brakefield when he was in better defense, stuff like that. I mean, college officiating is always going to be relatively inconsistent, but there was one in particular that kept calling these really soft touch fouls in what should have been a pretty hard-nosed and physical, and was a hard-nosed and physical basketball game between two really tough teams, to allow yourself to kind of take over that game as an official and called a lot of ticky-tack stuff there for a while, was not fitting for what the game deserved. You can expect stuff like that in college basketball. It doesn't make it okay. It's just you need to come to expect that. But I do think that the foul discrepancy hurt Ole Miss a lot. The that charge on Dre Davis, especially. That was awful. And there was a 5-second call that they missed that should have been a turnover right there at the end of the game. They missed an obvious 5-second. They're even calling it out on the broadcast. And then they missed a goaltend as well. Michigan State had a go-ahead bucket late that should have been goaltending. Before the ball went through, had a grab on the rim. They missed a lot, and they called too much. 20 fouls for Ole Miss to Michigan State's 12. And don't forget, they fouled. They had a flurry of fouls at the end of the first half because they could, because Ole Miss wasn't in the bonus, so Michigan State could. They had fouls to give, so that is even a little skewed. Next time come up. I appreciate you being courteous and thinking about, you know, my son and all that. But, man, next time, come on over. I would love to meet you. He gets a kick out of people doing that. He thinks it's funny. So, that was his babysitter, actually. That was his babysitter. So you wouldn't have been a bother at all. But I appreciate you, man. And next time, I hope I get to talk to you. Really felt like for most of the game, Ole Miss was the better team, but they didn't shoot well enough. Yeah, look, if I'd have told you going into the game, Ole Miss is only going to make 41% of their shots, you would have said they lost, right? They didn't shoot well enough. They did not shoot well enough. Investment in the program for next year starts now. It should be very exciting for fans and the collective. Same with packing the pavilion next season as well. Yes, absolutely. There should be some pretty easy phone calls as they have to dive right into portal recruiting, which is ridiculous, by the way, that they've had to spend their week recruiting the transfer portal. They've had to do that all week, which is just wrong. But those calls should be received differently than even last year. And they did a good job in the portal last year. But they'll have the money. And now they have, like we talked about after the Iowa State game, now they have the thing to point to. Now they have something to point to as, okay, Chris Beard did this somewhere else, right? Like, hey, Chris Beard's a coach that took Texas Tech to the national to the national championship game. Now you can point to, hey, here at Ole Miss, they did this in year one, took a big step forward in year two, made the Sweet 16. Come be a part of that. What a run like this does to the sales pitch makes players a lot more receptive, or you think it would anyway. That's what logic tells you, especially when they have, I believe, they have the money that should make them highly competitive in the transfer portal. As a player, you already likely want to play for Chris Beard anyway. If everybody that has eligibility left stays, you've got a really good thing with Malik Dia coming back. So that helps a ton. You're not desperate on the block, although a true center, I think, would help this team. I don't know if this is the dumbest thing to say or if this is smart. I don't know. I know there are a lot more ball knowers out there than me, but I think that it might serve Ole Miss really good if Malik Dia could shed like 20 pounds and you sign a true center and Dia plays your four. So he's a little bit more agile and can defend more out on the perimeter and have a lot more size. I don't know if that's actually like a smart thing that they're considering or not, but that makes sense to me. So there's a real opportunity here for Ole Miss. There's a real opportunity. When will the basketball schedule come out? I don't know. Let me see if Google turns up anything. So they received their conference schedule on August 20th of this year. That's when they received their conference schedule. So there's that. And then they released their non-conference schedule the day before. So there you go. Basically, 10 days before football season begins is when you are going to get the basketball schedule for next year. They are playing in Maui. They're playing in Maui, so that's big. They'll get, you would think, multiple games against really quality opponents. And that'll be a good exposure thing as well for Ole Miss, is getting Maui for next year. That's big time. So it's really big time. Heck of a game. Mississippi State. Michigan State was just more clutch down the stretch. Tip of the cap to Michigan State because they didn't quit when the Rebs went on a couple of runs. Beard and company have no reason to hang their head. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you play a program like Michigan State and a coach like Izzo in a game like that, and it's back and forth the way it was, there's a lot of things, like I said, you can point to. Ole Miss, the missed opportunities, the foul shooting discrepancy, stuff like that. But that's just one of those things where you just kind of just tip your hat right there, and this is a hell of a basketball game. That one offensive foul called on Dia/Padula midpoint in the second half was highly questionable. There was a lot of those tonight. A whole lot of those tonight. Is Ole Miss winning the baseball game right now? They are right now. Already took the series, though. They already took the series. Izzo on Ole Miss, quote, "That was the toughest, most physical defensive team we've played in years." Yeah, and I mean, Ole Miss made his dudes work, and you could see his energy, Izzo's energy on the sideline during that game, and then after the game, the sigh of relief. And you know, Izzo's always been great, right? But the way that he talked about Ole Miss, you can tell when a coach is being honest about opponents and when they're giving coach speak. You can tell the difference. I mean, you'll get it in football coaches. Ole Miss will open with Georgia State, and you'll get – and all coaches do this. I'm certainly not taking a shot at Lane Kiffin, but what you're going to hear in that opening press conference is really, really, really good team. You know, they're talented. They do this well, and they beat Vanderbilt last year and stuff like that, and it'll be all coach speak. He knows that his team's a lot better than Georgia State, but he's got to say that because coaches say that. I did not get 1 ounce of – coach speak from Tom Izzo when talking about Ole Miss and Chris Beard and the respect that he has for them. That felt truly genuine, including after that they beat New Mexico to get them to the Sweet 16, after the game tonight. That respect was real. There was no coach speak about that. Yeah, Coach Yo's squad starts their Elite Eight run at 9 o'clock on ESPN. So starting right now, you guys enjoy that. Also in the Super Chat, thank you, man. I appreciate you. You say, I really appreciate you. Totally unnecessary, but thank you. Say, I'm incredibly proud of the guys. It's sad that it's over. Nobody thought they would be here a month ago. I certainly did not. I will never doubt Chris Beard coached Ole Miss team again. I won't do that. They covered, by the way, on that Morrell three at the end. Very sad, but very proud. Next season will be fun. So close, football and basketball. So close. Yeah, and that's what a run like this creates too, right? Is a bunch of anticipation of what's to come in basketball. The season ticket sales are going to be great. The environments are going to be good. The portal class, I think, is going to be really, really good. So, yeah. The podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need, what your Mississippi business needs, and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank, they do make you their priority. So you say weather could be crap on Sunday. They're not playing on Sunday. This is the last game of the series for Ole Miss baseball. They've already won the series too, so they're going for the sweep, which I'll go check that out when we're done here. So yeah. Anyway, I watched the women's game as well. I mean, obviously we don't cover that in the same way that we do the men. It's just the audience doesn't demand for it. But look, people watch the women's tournament as well. The first round averaged 600,000 viewers, which is outstanding. I think the second round averaged 900,000 viewers per game, which is like Omaha numbers, not the national championship series, but that's like College World Series numbers, better than most College World Series games. So those are, you know, as a team makes a run, people start paying attention. And for Ole Miss to be involved in that is great for the exposure of the program. So a win tonight will help them a ton as well. So hopefully they can get a win. Another super chat. Appreciate you, man. Totally, totally unnecessary, but thank you. You say thanks for all the content you provide. Outside. Oh, well, I'm messing with you, but thanks for calling me second. But no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Much love to you too, brother. Thank you. No, it is a lot of fun. I always get sad when seasons end, to be honest with you. I always get sad when football season ends. Regardless of if it's a good football season or a bad one, I always get sad when it ends, because even though you guys are always looking for football content and we're going to spend all offseason talking, especially now, right? I mean, baseball's still going on, of course, and that'll take a lot. But we're going to do a lot of football, as you can imagine, so it never really ends. But there is kind of like a sadness that comes with the end of a season. And I've only lived in Mississippi 15 years. I spent my first 4 years at Ole Miss, obviously, and then I've been working in media ever since. And a basketball season has never ended this way since I've lived here. And so it feels different, honestly. That team that lost to LaSalle in 2013, that was tough. Because they were better than that, and they should have gone further. But this one does feel different because it's, you know, like the Ricky Bobby movie. I don't know what to do with my hands. This is unfamiliar territory for me and a lot of you guys out there. And so there is a little bit of sadness that comes with there's no more basketball games. There's no more March Madness to discuss with you guys. But that doesn't mean it wasn't awesome. It's kind of poetic that Matt made that last shot. It really is, right? I mean, going out the way he did, talked about it earlier, but I'm very, very happy that Matt Morrell got to finish his season in the way he was able to, and that battling the knee injury that he battled all season. And look, he didn't score the way that you've grown accustomed to thinking that he could. And I think a lot of that is in part because of the knee, but also, you know, Padula was there, right? So that's more of their volume scorer anyway. But to defend the way he defended with the injury that he had this season was special. And again, in this era where the first sign of adversity, that you got a bunch of guys that just jump in the portal and just get out. And it could have been very easy for Matt Morrell to leave Ole Miss after Kermit Davis got fired. And instead he stuck it out and got rewarded with the Sweet 16 run and going out a legend. I know it kind of feels weird to praise people for not, you know, leaving their team, but that is kind of what college sports has become, especially in basketball. So you say Beard's building a dynasty. His roster is only going to get better. I'm not even mad. Yeah, I don't think that, not that I need to tell anybody how to feel, because I hope I'm not trying to do that, but anger, I don't think should be the emotion tonight. Sadness is the correct one. That's a right one. Pride, probably another emotion that is apt. But I don't see, by the way, I haven't seen anybody that's like truly mad. That's not a thing. I'm just, you know, kind of talking out loud. All of the other ones, though, are apt for sure. First words out of your dad's mouth when the game was over was, man, I feel like someone just shot my dog. Yeah, especially because they had so many chances. They had a chance to win. They played really well. It'd be, you know, it's not like they got blown out tonight if it looked and felt like they didn't belong, because they belonged. They absolutely – and the thing is, this team belonged with the best teams in the country on the floor. How many times did they prove it? That's the beauty of what happened in this run. There's nothing fluky about it. Them getting to this point was not a fluke in any way. They were able to, quote-unquote, line up and play with the best teams in college basketball. They beat Alabama on their home floor. They beat Tennessee, who's off to the Elite Eight. I mean, they've got two Elite Eight wins. They beat five teams in the Sweet 16. That they absolutely earned everything. They earned to this point. This isn't some Cinderella run or they got hot at the right time. Somebody texted in the radio show yesterday. It was like, don't let the Rebs get hot. It's like, no, I don't think that it's not them getting hot. This is what they were. And despite the flaws on the roster, and there were some, but this is what they were all season long. And so that's why I am so confident that this isn't a flash in the pan, that this isn't something that just it's like a footnote in an otherwise short history of success for the program. I think this is something that they will replicate on a regular basis as long as Chris Beard's there. And as long as Chris Beard's there, they're going to continue to elevate the profile of the program itself. So, very pleased with the state of Ole Miss athletics at the moment. If baseball makes a run in the tournament, this could be the best collective sports year in school history. It already is the best collective sports year in school history, truthfully. If you're being honest, you picked Michigan State on your bracket at work, currently in first place and winning $300. Well, there's a silver lining for you. You believe Izzo was genuine when he said Ole Miss was the toughest team he'd faced in years? I believe that too. Think Ole Miss had the better team in your opinion? If they just stopped Jason Richardson's left-handed kid from going left, they advance. Did we have zero fans in the arena? What the hell was that? Michigan State fans were so loud on TV, it sounded like there were more in Milwaukee. I think it's just simply a product of where they were placed in the arena. Michigan State's fans got to be behind their bench. Ole Miss fans were opposite. So all four teams, or all four fan bases, had to buy tickets for each game. And so they had to divide the allotment for each school, which I guess was just 1,000. Into fours in the arena. And so I think you're just simply looking at it from Michigan State fans got to be behind their bench where Ole Miss fans were not. I mean, I talked to somebody that was at the game that was, described it as like they were rowdy. They were into it. Like it was a really good, like Ole Miss fans really showed out. It's just on TV, you couldn't see them because of where they were situated in the arena. That's a really stupid thing that the NCAA does. And I feel like the solutions to it would be very easy. The fact that anybody that had to go to that game had to essentially buy tickets for both is dumb. Let's be honest, this was a collective of really good, not great players who played well with exceptional coaching and certainly fulfilled their potential. Well, I mean, that is the perfect way to describe this team. Padula was unbelievable in March, but I don't know if he's a draft pick or not. I've seen worse players than him find their way onto G League teams and two-way contracts, that's for sure. His only problem is his height. He's small. But so is Jose Alvarado, and he's a full contract guy in the NBA. So, but no, Ole Miss doesn't have any stars. They don't have any superstars. This is a collection of good players. They don't have one elite player. They've got a lot of good players. But most importantly, they had a bunch of good players that understood how to fit into whatever their role was. That was a high-character basketball team. This is your first season that your girlfriend was following along with the Rebels, and she said, why do we always get close to greatness and never get over the hump? I was sad at how true that was. She needs to be quiet. Not now, girlfriend, okay? You're new to this. You don't get to say stuff like that. You've got to go through the trials first before you start talking that noise. No, I'm kidding, but I don't know if you can describe this that way. This team got over the hump. This team, this, and I know it's a tournament in which there's only one winner, but for this team to get to the Sweet 16, I do think there's a getting over the hump element to this. That I don't think you can call that, like, categorize this season like, you know, close but no cigar. There's a lot of cigars mixed in here, if that makes sense. Very good point. This roster was good, but Beard will make a deeper run. I truly believe that. I think there's absolutely no doubt that a deeper run is coming. Dia could be a superstar if he comes back next year. He has potential to be really special. Absolutely. The ceiling on Malik Dia is very, very high, and he's not anywhere close to it. But, man, that ceiling is very high. He's got a lot of skill. There's a lot of real potential there. And, you know, if he, which he should, and I would suspect that Ole Miss would pay him a significant amount of money to stick around, another full offseason with Chris Beard could do wonders for him. So yeah, you hope he sticks with it and doesn't fall for what inevitably is going to be a metric ton of tampering, because that's how it works. If he doesn't fall for that, there's real potential to be a all SEC player next year for sure. So I'm going to hang it up, guys. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. As always, hate that the season has come to an end, but it was a hell of a run for a very enjoyable basketball team to watch. So we'll be back on Sunday as usual. So just after 8 o'clock on Sunday, we'll talk about the baseball weekend, maybe get into some Jackson Dart pro day stuff as well. So we'll talk then. Thank you guys for tuning in again. I'll talk to you guys on Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.